Livingston and Cookeville collide for a great game. The story of the Wildcats win coming up this hour from Bruce Land. Wins from Jackson County, Monterey. Pickett County Bobcats are in the house at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. We'll visit with them as we move through this hour. Glad you're along. The high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders on what was a wonderful night of high school football. Some great games all across the region. Let's get things started by checking out the scoreboard from last night. Livingston defeating Cookeville 28-21 last night in Livingston. Bill McDonald 24-31 passing for 296 yards and 4 touchdowns. Cookeville Stockton Owen 9-16 for 113 yards as Livingston wins over the Cavaliers for the first time since 1994. Upperman defeated DeKalb County 35-0. The Bees rushed for 271 yards on that game. White County gets the win over Cumberland County, 31-20 the final score. Will Richmond led the way on the ground with 117 yards on 16 carries and 2 touchdowns for the Warriors, who start the season 2-0. Clay County beats Clinton County, Kentucky by a final of 25-0. Jake Ashlock led the way for the Bulldogs, 21 carries, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jackson County rebounded to beat Sail Creek by a 20-18 score. Junior running back Whit Robbins found the end zone 3 times for the Blue Devils last night. Monterey rushes for over 260 yards and shutting out Lookout Valley by a 43-0 score. Freshman Mason Bowman, 6 carries, 131 yards. The Wildcats are 2-0. Pickett County falls at home to Sunbright by a 46-24 score. Luke Smith, 147 yards passing and 2 touchdowns for the Bobcats. York Institute falls at Oneida 33-0. The Dragons manage just 157 yards of total offense in that game. Cannon County beats Warren County 20-7. Westmoreland wins over Macon County 21-11. Smith County, the Battle of Smith County, taking the win over Gordonsville, the final score 49-20. Glad to have with us Adam Kane, head coach of the Upperman Bees, as they get the win over rival DeKalb County. And really, Coach, it looks like your defense kind of led the way for you last night.
Yeah, you know, we got a shutout and defense played well. It wasn't like we just completely held them to no yards. I mean, they moved the ball some, but they – I really think they're going to be eventually be a pretty good team. They got some good players. They're big up front. And, you know, we were really worried. I think Trapp does a good job of, you know, I think he's got one of the better offensive schemes around. And, you know, they definitely had our attention coming in. And so I was pleased with the way we played. I didn't think we tackled very well, but, you know, especially not as good as we did week one. But, you know, there are things we got to correct, and we'll do that moving forward.
Is it hard to tackle well in the beginning of the year just because of not wanting to do a lot of it in camp? But yeah. You got to do some, but you don't want to do too much.
Yeah, I'm kind of different when it comes to that. You know, I'm not a big tackle circuit, tackling drills kind of person. I think you do have to go live in practice, and I think the only way you become a better tackler is to do it in a live situation. I think a lot of it has to do with who your opponent is. You know, if they've got a guy that is really, you know, got some good movement, you know, a little wiggle to him, it's going to be hard. You're going to miss some tackles, and so – some of it is the matchup that you're dealing with. Some of it is how hard are you playing. And, you know, yeah, obviously you want to take proper angles, but the biggest thing, I think, is attacking the ball carrier. There's not a lot of technique involved when you either go get him or you let him make a move. And that's one thing we try to preach. I felt like we did that pretty good last night, but they had I'll give DeKalb some credit there. Some of their kids are hard to get down.
I had a defensive coach for the Titans once tell me that the tackling is about 20% technique and about 100% mentality. I said, that's over 100%. He said, that's the point.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that.
How did your offense perform?
I was pleased with our offense. you know, they were big up front, big in the middle, and we're kind of clogging up our, you know, our normal go-to runs. So we got the ball on the outside, and, you know, Donovan, my quarterback, had a 73-yard run. And then we basically playing three tailbacks right now, and all three of them had, you know, multiple carries. I think they all had over six or seven carries, and for the most part, all three of them were pretty productive running the football.
Do you like having the multiple ball carriers to carry the load?
You know, it's a hard question to answer. I like the guys we have this year. I will say, you know, if Blake Metzger wanted to come back on the team, I'd take him back in a heartbeat. But, you know, he's graduated and gone, and he did most of our ball carrying last year from the tailback spot. But, you know, Zach Stewart's a senior, and he has gotten better every game, and had a really kind of productive night against Cookeville. And he had the most carries last night. I think he had 14. So he's kind of our leader back there. But the young guys, you know, Ty Dutchess has got some speed, got a different gear than the others. And then the big man, Jaron McClellan, you know, he's a 240-pound kid that he could be a weapon. So, you know, one of them is a senior who's pretty much established, and two of them are guys that you see potentially could really provide a spark at some point during the year. And so it's good to see all three of them be productive.
Upperman Coach Adam Kane with us from Chick-fil-A as we break down the win over DeKalb County Friday night. Two games in, you're 2-0. You like that, but I know there's things you want to improve on. What's the biggest thing that you're not happy with?
Yeah, I felt like we got better. You know, we cleaned up some stuff. We had it was a big-time rivalry game against Cookeville. Emotions were just at a fever pitch. It was really insane. And we had six or seven personal foul penalties, which is uncharacteristic for, you know, hopefully for my kind of teams. But so we cleaned that part of it up. But last night we had some just ridiculous little procedural penalties on offense that everybody in the crowd made sure that they pointed out to me after the game. So we need to fix those and figure out a way to quit shooting ourselves in the foot. And I think if we do that and continue to improve, I do see this team practicing, learning how to practice, and that allows us to get better during the week in practice, which is important. And I felt like we made some improvements this week, and hopefully we got to continue because Smith County's 2-0 and apparently rolling, and we got our work cut out for us.
Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
Adam Kane, head coach of the Upperman Bees. Glad you're here as we talk some high school football from Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. It's the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. First big Saturday of college football. There's a lot of orange in the house at Chick-fil-A here this morning. People making their way to Knoxville for the opener today against Georgia State. We're talking some Pickett County Bobcats football with head coach Ray Reagan. Falling to Sunbright last night, 1-1 to start the season. How'd you grade the team's performance last night?
Out is a little shaky. We had some players in places that they normally wouldn't be due to injuries and other things. But second half, they adjusted. They come out in second half. They played about as well as I could expect them to play. I was pleased the second half. We just put four quarters together. I think we could do some good things.
It's tough when you have limited numbers because one injury can really send things sprawling, can it?
It's a snowball effect. You lose one at one position, you got to take one from the position that he's used to and put him someplace else. It just snowballs, and you know, you try to coach them up to different positions just in case, but you're never really prepared to lose the ones that you lose. So you just do the best you can.
What pleased you offensively last night?
They just seemed to come together there at the end. My quarterback played great. Had a couple freshman running backs out there that They showed me a lot last night. They didn't have a whole lot of experience, but they played really well. They just seemed to put it together there in the second half and started putting some points on the board.
If there's a position in football where young players can contribute, is running back one where they can come in and kind of make an impact a little more quickly than, say, other places?
Yeah, I believe so. My starting running back, he was out last night, but the freshmen, they stepped in and they filled the role and done a good job. I'll be glad to get my starter back next week.
No doubt about that. What's the personality of your defense right now?
They're aggressive. They're fast. They're aggressive. I've got a new defensive coordinator this year, and he's done an excellent job with them. He gets them flying around to the ball, and I'm pleased with them. We gave up some points last night that we shouldn't have given up, but a lot of it was due to injuries and people out of position that, you know, not used to playing where they was at. I lost, well, out of my four linebackers, three of them was backups. I only had one starter out left on the field.
When you go into a game and you have those kinds of injuries and you're having to make those adjustments, what goes through your mind as you're trying to plan for those kinds of situations?
Like I said, during the week you kind of try to plan for it, and you start putting other ones in those positions just in case, but in the back of your mind you're hoping it never comes to that. But like I said, I got a good defensive coordinator, and he's good about training them for multiple positions just in case. But you got a lot of them without a lot of experience. Some of these kids has been doing this since they were 6 years old playing that position. You put somebody in there that's not, it's a drop-off. But they come together. I was pleased.
Ray Reagan is head coach at Pickett County as the Bobcats 1-1 to start this campaign. Because you have coached so many of these young men for so long, is it different from the standpoint of the camaraderie? Is it already there a little bit that you don't have to build it as much as, say, a coach normally would?
Yeah, I mean, these kids were a small town, small school, and, they're like family to each other, and in a sense, they're like my kids. I worry about them just same as I do my own children, and, I look at them just like they belong to me. I look after them. I get on them when they're bad and praise them when they're good, and, like I said, I've had some of these since they were 6 years old in some form or fashion, so, yeah, it's a close-knit group. And that's the one thing about it that I enjoy, is because I'm close to every one of them. So,
what's it like for you to see them grow up, having seen them when they were 6 and 7 and 8 to now?
It's scary when they get a driver's license. I know that. it's just watching them turn into good young men is that means a lot to me. I'd like to think I maybe had a small part in it, but they turned into fine young men, and that pleases me.
Talking some Pickett County football with Ray Reagan, and he's brought along some of the Bobcat players that we'll talk to here in just a second. As you look at kind of where you go through the rest of the season, obviously want to get healthy, but what are some things that are on your mind as the coach that you say, we got to get better at this if we're going to make some noise as October rolls around?
Well, this discipline, first game we made a whole lot of stupid mistakes. Second, last night we cleaned a lot of that up, but just continue to improve each and every week, and we'll be fine. Once I get healthy, that's the main thing. We get healthy, I think the rest of it will kind of take care of itself.
Do you feel like you're stepping forward in building the program that you wanted when you stepped into this job?
Absolutely. I got more freshmen this year than I've ever had, and I've got some freshmen, like I said, that contribute. And as long as we keep getting freshmen, it's going to keep building and building and building. So, yeah, it's going in the right direction.
What do you attribute that to? Just that people want to get involved in the football program now?
In all honesty, I think we had a good year last year as far as best we'd done, for a small school. And you guys. I mean, you guys has done a whole lot for us. You guys, you know, some recognition that, you know, we never really got before. You know, a lot of people didn't even realize that Pickett County had a football team. But, you know, now they do, and these kids want to be a part of it, and I'm glad. So,
who'd you bring with you today?
I brought Hunter Vick. He's a junior defensive back. Brought Payne Burton. He's a freshman. He plays defensive back, running back. Mark Smith, senior. He's a wide receiver. Parker Gore, he's a senior. He's my running back. And Luke Smith, he's a senior. He's my quarterback.
So let me start with Hunter, because put that same question to you about, you know, getting a chance to play early on. What was it like? What's it like to get in there as a freshman? Payne. What's it like to get in there as a freshman and play?
It's pretty exciting. It's different because we don't have a middle school team. So coming into it, I was pretty new to it all. The first game was a lot different.
What made you want to come out and play?
Well, I hadn't got to play since, like, third grade, I think, so whenever I got the chance to play again, I was pretty excited to just get to do it again. I really enjoy football.
Hunter, do you sense that this team is growing and that the program is growing at Pickett County?
Yeah, I do.
What pleased you about the way the team played in the first 2 weeks?
Well, that we played as a team and come together.
Mark, what do you try to contribute to this football team? What do you try to bring to your play?
Everything I've got. Leadership, my skills, just everything.
What's the key to leadership in your mind? Is it being the rah-rah loud guy, or is it kicking people in the tail if they need it? How do you describe leadership?
I don't know. It's you just got to take control when stuff needs to be done, you know. I guess the loudness, you know, kick people in the tail, all of it. You see somebody out of hand, you know, you got to talk to them. Or you see somebody down, talk to them. Make sure everything's going okay with them.
Parker, what's kind of the mentality of this running back group that you have in Byrdstown? Tough? Physical?
Yeah, it's really physical. Whenever, you know, we got young linemen, got a really young front line. It's tough being back there coming out of the backfield whenever you've got more experienced defensive linemen coming at you.
Can you believe that you're a senior?
No. I feel like I've been here for a while playing. I played since I was six with him, and it's coming on as fast as seniors.
How fast has your high school years gone?
It's come pretty fast, especially football season. I mean, you only get 10 games a year, and it seems like it just isn't ever long enough.
And you've already played two, right?
I already played two.
Yeah. Let's bring in Luke Smith to the conversation as we talk some Pickett County football. Luke, how do you grade what you did last night?
I could have done better in some standpoints, I feel like. But all in all, I think I done pretty decent.
What would you grade yourself down on? What were the things you'd like to do better?
I could definitely check the field better, make sure I got better open receivers, stuff like that. Scramble a little more maybe.
Put the fan that's listening into your shoes. You're back there, you're scanning the field, you're trying to see where you're going to throw the football. Do you ever get nervous? Do you ever get jumpy, like, I got to get rid of this ball, they're coming at me?
Yeah, sometimes I definitely like to jump the gun and just throw it. Even when there's not a spot, I guess that's how interceptions are thrown, but all in all, yeah.
Is there somebody that you've grown up watching that you say, you know, that's the kind of quarterback that I'd like to be?
I've always watched football, and just I like to watch quarterbacks and see how they do, but Peyton Manning, I've always watched him just because he's a Tennessee player, but I just like to watch quarterbacks in general.
Parker, that same question to you. Is there somebody that you've kind of modeled your game after through the years?
Really, it wouldn't be my professional. It'd be more my brother. He played the same position as me, and I guess he's kind of been in my same shoes, you know, with the same line situation and the young guys and the minimum players and injuries. I mean, it's all kind of came in play every year.
Yeah. Mark, what does this team have to do to get better?
Just keep coming together. Work harder in practice, listen more. But in all, I think, you know, we're doing good right now. Last night I was pleased with the second half. I got took out the first half, but I seen young guys come in, and, you know, that I can tell they've listened. But really, I don't know what to say about that one. They're doing pretty good, but I guess just listen more, get more experience.
Coach Reagan, does he make himself known?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So it's not a problem with hearing him.
Really. Oh, no.
No, it's okay. Just making sure. Payne, how about for you as a young person in this program? You want to see Pickett County get to a level where they're consistently competing? Is that one of the reasons that you came out and wanted to play?
Absolutely. I just – to be able to be a part of a program growing like this one, it's pretty great. Something I really appreciate.
What do you want to work on yourself?
I guess just knowing football. I want to be able to know everything from every spot.
Hunter, how about you? What is it that you want to work on during the course of this season?
Catching the ball and better on my footwork.
Coach, the thing that stands out to me about these young men is that they all kind of understand what it is you're trying to get done here, and it seems like they have bought in. They've certainly heard the message.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and they, like I said, they're a close-knit group. And I've got some good leaders on this team. And you know, they kind of hear what I say, and they push it on to the younger guys. And that's what I need. You know, these three seniors that I brought with me today, they're good leaders. And they push them every day, just like I do. So,
Mark said, though, you don't need to talk any louder.
Mark don't always know what he's talking about.
1-1 are the Bobcats as we enter week three of this upcoming season. Going to be fun to watch how this team develops. Ray Reagan, quarterback Luke Smith, wide receiver Mark Smith, running back Parker Gore, wide receiver Payne Burton, wide receiver Hunter Vick joining us at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. Thanks for coming today. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having us.
Saturday morning, we gather here to talk high school football with coaches and players across the Upper Cumberland. We call it the High School Place, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Glad you're along. Let's go to Livingston, where big win last night for Bruce Lamb and his Wildcats, beating the Cookeville Cavaliers 28-21. Coach, what an exciting night for your football team.
It's a great one. It was amazing to watch our kids and see the effort and determination they had to win that football game. Just the attitude that they were fun losing that game, and they just kept fighting. I'm so proud of that effort that they gave.
A back-and-forth affair that I'm sure had fans on both sides kind of hanging on the edge of their seat.
Everybody got their money's worth last night. If you were just a fan of football, it was a great game to watch. Win or lose, it was super.
Let's start with your
didn't
defense.
Make it to the final horn.
Catch today's high school playbook where demand. Cookeville is trying to score. What went on with that play?
Well, it was fourth and goal from the one, and they're a lot bigger than we are, and they called a timeout right before that, and so we got to talk a little defense on the sideline, and we thought they might try to quarterback sneak because the quarterback, their Owens kid, he is a heck of a football player. And we thought they might go with him, and so we kind of beefed up the left side because we thought they'd be going that way. But we also talked to our corners, Briar Mosley over there, and we told Briar, you know, we'll look for somebody slipping out and going out in the flats. And they did. They gave it a good fake, and Briar played it perfect, and he had to pinpoint the ball, and he just couldn't get it there, and he just overthrew him. Great credit to our kids. They did a great job. Coach Matt and Hauser did a great job making that call.
And it gives your offense a chance to go down and win the game, but you're at the one-yard line.
Yeah, that's. I didn't know it was that long a drive until later on after the game was over with. We went 99 yards to win the game. It was just, you know, you could look at the confidence in the kids, and that's the maturity that they have. I got 13 seniors, and those guys, we caught a couple timeouts on that drive, and they just came over, and you could tell we were going to win that football game.
So walk us through the drive.
Well, we were in a groove. Coach Danny McClellan had called a great game from up in the press box, and he and Will have been together for the last 3 years, and Will McDonough, our quarterback, and Will was on fire, and he wanted the ball, and, you know, we got such weapons on the outside, and our offensive line had really done a great job in the second half of protecting Will. And, you know, I think we come out the first play and ran a slant to Wesley Smith, and then we come down and throw to Raven Carpenter a couple times, and you know, we just, to tell you the truth, I can't. All I remember is the last play, and you know, we throw a slant to Wesley, and he breaks the tackle and scores, and I think there's 22 seconds left to go in the game, and you know, the excitement is just, it was just amazing.
Wesley Smith getting that 30-yard touchdown pass from Will McDonald. I mean, Will has just come up big so many times for you over the course of his career, but that'll be one of those drives that they'll talk about for years. 30 years from now, they'll be talking about that drive against Cookeville.
Yeah, definitely will. It's been 25 years, 1994, that we have, since last time we beat Cookeville High School, and you know, to do it the way we did, and also on that drive, Will broke the all-time passing leader's record. He is now our all-time leading passer with that drive. So Russ had a lot of big things happen that 99 yards.
I know the young people get caught up in, you know, beating Cookeville, and it's a bigger school and all of that. Did you see that this week, or was it just a determination that we want to come out and play our best?
Well, you know, anytime you play a 6A football team, and, you know, it's got over 2,000 students like Cookeville High School does, and you know, it's big for us, you know. I think we've got 900 kids, and you know, and we've been close before. We just never could get it done, and our kids just had that determination. I mean, we started out first, you know, last week in Smith Morning. We're going to take every game one game at a time, and we're doing that, and we don't look ahead, and you know, we don't look back, and we just keep going forward, and you know, our kids were preparing, and they just wanted to win.
What'd you tell them after the game?
I think for the first time in 27 years that I was speechless. I couldn't think of the words. You know, I was so proud of them. Just, you know, that last 2 minutes of the game when we called a timeout and they came over to the sideline. Just, you know, they were exhausted. They were tired. You could see it in their face. You know, they had played their tails off. And just to see them come out fight, win or lose, I was so proud of them. And I tell you, I love those guys because they worked their butts off for me.
That's why you coach, isn't it?
Amen. That's exactly right. I mean, that's what it's about. You know, that was a big win for those kids and our school, but it's also a life lesson for those guys to keep fighting no matter what happens to them throughout their life.
Bruce Lamb, Livingston Academy, 28, Cookeville, 21. Enjoy this one for a while, Coach.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you.
We're rolling out of bed this morning. The high school playbook scoreboard from last night. Clay County defeats Clinton County, Kentucky, 25-0. Upperman goes to 2-0 with a 35-0 win over Cab County. Cookeville falls to Livingston, 28-1. Oneida jumps out North, 33-0. Stone Memorial beats Coldfield, 26-12. Sunrise 46, Mitchell County 24, Monterey shuts out McCown Valley 43-0. White County wins over Cumberland 31-20. Jackson County gets the win over Stale Creek by a final of 20-18. Good time to bring in Sean Lofton, head coach of the Blue Devils. Coach, how did you play as you evaluated the game that brought in?
And played really well. We got in the first quarter there, 12-0. And playing really good defensively. Offensively, I took the opening kickoff down and scored, got a stop, and then got the ball back and scored again, both on Wid Robbins' runs. And then it was just like the second quarter. Defensively, we just stopped playing. Sail Creek, they scored all 18 points in the second quarter, and then we scored a touchdown as well there in the second, and got the 2-point conversion, which was the difference in the ball game. And then in the second half, we made some adjustments defensively. We didn't play necessarily the second half the way I wanted to. Offensively, we turned the ball over two times. That kind of stalled out our drives, but then gave them, kind of fed them more momentum. There at the end, we were able to stop them right there at the end of the ball game.
I'm going to ask you the magic question that I guess if you knew the answer to, you could market it to all high school coaches. What happened in the second quarter? Did it just feel like?
I don't know if we just didn't have that mentality of you know, wanting to basically just kind of step on their throat type mentality of don't ever let up. You know, I don't know. It's been a long time for this group to have a win. And so it's one of those things right now, an ugly win is better than any loss any day. You know, you're exactly right. You could market it, but, you know, hopefully we learn from this from last night. And you know, and it, we don't get into a place to where we might get up again and then just kind of go through the motions for a quarter, because we're not good enough to just go through the motions or not line up properly and things like that. But anyway, I was very proud of our kids. You know, at this point in time, you know, we were just fighting hard for a W.
Tell me what you like about the way Wid is playing right now. Wid Robbins, your running back.
Wid is, you know, he's a tough-nosed kid. He's been through it all. I mean, he's one that started early as a freshman. Had to play a position he, you know, basically I threw upon him, which was quarterback. His freshman year, whenever Kobe Long was hurt, he had to come in and start as a freshman for the first three or four games. And then last year, you know, again, he played a quarterback as well. And then we got a kid out that's also a junior, and he came out midway last year and was giving football a shot. And he's a natural quarterback. But being able to move Wid to a running back, and then also be able to play him at linebacker. I mean, he is literally the quarterback of both sides of the football, on getting us lined up properly and defensively, making our defensive calls and checks. And then offensively, I mean, he helps Eli a lot as far as, you know, whatever checks or what, you know, we may have on the offensive side. And then, he's just a tough-nosed kid. He runs the ball hard. He's always going to be leaning forward and getting those tough yardage. You know, and then he'll also come back. He don't take a play off. He plays hard. He plays hard all night long. And, you know, we're able to kind of spell him for a special team or two. But, you know, he right now is our heart and soul of our football team.
Help you to go back to work next week, coming off a win?
Oh, yes. It's so much better knowing you came off of a victory. I mean, you know, last week against York, I mean, we played well for three and a half quarters. I'm not necessarily saying we played defensively really well for three and a half quarters. You know, we gave up some yards to a York team. But, you know, just to see the fight and just to see the heart that our kids played with and against York last week, And then, you know, last night, you know, I told them, I was like, I don't care. A win's a win at this point in time. And you guys, they needed one. And for us as coaches, I feel like we needed one as well. And yes, sir, it's it's a lot better going to work on, you know, watching film this weekend and meeting on Sunday. And I just feel like it'll be a better attitude, mindset-wise, you know, coming in on Monday and all week next week getting prepared for a Westmoreland team.
That's a little pep in the step, right?
Yes, sir.
Final score, Jackson County 20, Sail Creek 18. Sean Loftus, thanks for the time.
Thank you very much.
You can follow all kinds of high school sports happening in the Upper Cumberland at ucsportsnation.com. It's our brand new site. It covers all of the Upper Cumberland schools, all the sports, boys and girls. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee. Crossville, the home of East Tennessee Ford, bringing on Derek Sanford, head coach of the Stone Memorial Panthers. Stone Memorial beats Coalfield 26-12 Friday night. Coach, good to see your team come back the way they did last night.
Larry, honestly, goodness, I told my kids this after the game, the most proud I've ever been of a football team. You know, we were down 5 kids offensively. We've been through tragedy a week or so before. And it was just a gritty, ugly, slug it out in our game. But just so proud of those kids. Had so many young guys, so many kids that hadn't played before step up. That was great to see.
They don't understand it, but you do, that what they went through last week and especially Friday night, those are kind of lessons that you build on as the season goes on. And, you know, at some point in the season, you're going to need that again.
They are, man. And Larry, we've seen so much growth from our kids, emotional growth, spiritual growth, physical growth. And then, you know, to see so many kids step up Friday night and step into new roles or bigger roles or what have you, I think it'll definitely pay off down the road this season and in the future.
How'd the game unfold?
Coalfield's a great, great football team. Number two, their quarterback, McKinney, is a great athlete. They went down, scored on their first drive. We got a safety early on. And then we answered back in the run game. I think at halftime it was, we were up 12-6 and went up 18-6. And then they answered and then scored again. So, tight ball game throughout, Larry. Coalfield's got a great team. It was just one of those nights that it's kind of the team that made the fewest mistakes on the ball game.
Offensively, who were you proud of last night?
You know, down to our third and fourth running backs, Larry, we started Jay Greer's a freshman, Caleb Flowers is a freshman, and then Quincy Hunter's a sophomore. So our three receivers, two of them were freshmen, one's a sophomore. Our quarterback, Bryant Carter, got his first win as a starting quarterback. He's a sophomore and just such a great kid, a leader, a tough kid, carried the ball for us more than we had hoped. We had several guys step up in the backfield. Nick Coble made his first start at running back. I think we had 7-8 different guys we asked carry the ball at some point, and they all ran the ball hard, didn't put it on the ground, and that was big. So, you know, that's a few names, Larry, that stepped up. You know, young kids or kids that really had never started a ball game before that we threw out there, and they responded last night and showed that growth.
Got to make you pleased that you put those guys out there and they perform when they're not getting maybe as many reps as your starters are getting. It means they're paying attention, they're listening, they're studying.
Well, as a coach, that's what's rewarding, you know, and the value of coaching is taking a kid where he can't take himself. And so to see those kids step into bigger roles and, you know, maybe even perform better than they expect to was really, really great. And, you know, you mentioned reps and kids stepping in, but that's a credit to our coaching staff, and they all did a great job making sure we were ready, even in the face of some injuries and adversity.
And how'd your offensive line play?
Yeah, offensive line was really solid. I thought we owned the point of attack most of the night. Had a kid get banged up there in the middle of the game, and Zeke Bauckham is a young guy that big kid. We've been waiting to step up. He stepped in and played pretty admirably last night, so very proud of the offensive line.
Stone Memorial coach Derek Samber with us as the Panthers get the win. What pleased you defensively with your performance Friday?
You know, defensively, gave up a couple big plays. Again, that was kind of issue week one. Had some balls thrown over our head, misjudged some balls, what have you. But defensively, caused a lot of turnovers, caused a lot of negative plays, got off the field on third down. I think they were 3-13 or something to that effect on third down. So defensively, we're physical. We swarmed to the football. We create negative plays, and we got stops when we had to have them. Stopped them a couple times in the red zone, and then, of course, getting off the field on third down is huge.
Those negative plays, I mean, they just affect the momentum of an offense.
Absolutely. Those are hard to overcome, you know, and you've got to be really good to overcome giving up sacks or yard loss in the run game. So, when you can create negative plays, it sets your defense up for success for sure.
So two games in, I'm sure plenty of things you want to work on to improve this football team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're doing some things really well. And, again, being down five different skill position guys this week was a challenge. So just to kind of hopefully with a lot of disruption and turmoil in our week one game and then being without several kids this week, I hope we settle in and get our footing and can just kind of build on the foundation we laid Friday night.
Stone Memorial with a win, 26-12 over Coalfield. Head coach Derek Samber, we appreciate the visit as always, Coach.
Larry, I appreciate you, man. Y'all do a great job.
To Monterey now, where the Wildcats get the win over Lookout Valley on the road, 43-0 Friday night in Chattanooga. And Scott Hughes is the head coach of the Wildcats. Coach, what pleased you most about how your team played?
Well, we were pretty resilient last night, and we had some things go against us that you know, sometimes you worry about, especially when you're playing some young guys and you're still trying to find your way as a team. And I felt that we were very resilient last night, had a turnover too, and gave up some big plays defensively and was able to kind of stay with our motto of making them snap it again, and we were able to make some things happen after that big play. And you know, the key on that was Shiloh Walker had a 98-yard fumble return. And we had had two busts on defense. Some silly stuff went on mentally. We just lost focus. And we make a big stop to stop them from scoring at the two-yard line. Very next snap, they fumble the football, and we have a 98-yard scoop and score. And it was one of those things that when you go back and look at it, the effort on the play before to prevent them from scoring allowed us to get a defensive touchdown.
It just reminds you that, you know, you get down there close and sometimes the mentality is, well, they're going to score. You just never know.
Yes, very much. And it played 100% true into that drive. It was one of those things. We had turned the football over to give them the football, which is something that we've been harping on about, not giving teams the ball more than what we have to, and we did that, and we were actually driving to score again when we fumbled, and so it was an unfortunate turn of events, and then we have two mental busts, but we were able to salvage that drive on defense with a big play.
A nice night again for Mason Bowman.
It was. Mason's a talented young man that can do many things. And, you know, it's one of those things right now we feel that our offense is very versatile. You know, the key stat that a lot of people don't realize, Jordan Key has an 85-yard touchdown run called back. So Jordan can go the distance at any point in time. And, you know, Anthony Sabaranas had another really good night. And very blessed to have two or three guys in the backfield that can do some similar stuff with each other. And you don't have one guy that has to have 30 carries or you know, 25 carries. And a lot of that is set up, though, also, you know, we you know, got some guys outside on the perimeter as receivers that can go get the football and can take the top off of you. You know, when you look out there and you got a 6'4", 210 receiver and a 6'2", 175 receiver, that's always good to have and takes a little pressure off your quarterback. And got some young guys playing in the slot that really stepped up big. Last night, early, Eli Saylors as a freshman steps up, has a huge catch for us on third down to keep a drive going that really got our offense going last night.
Coach, what do you like about Anthony as a ball carrier?
You know, Anthony's one of those guys that every coach dreams of. He'll be texting me here shortly wanting film, just a great, great character young man. And then when it comes to football, you get everything that that young man has. He's a 100% guy every day. Just a great, great, as I said again, great character guy, great family. You know, he's one of those guys that you want to build your program around. And you know, he's worked hard this offseason to make himself a little bit even more explosive. He's a guy that's played a ton of football for me. You know, he walked in as a starter in game one as a freshman and has never relinquished that role on defense. And he's worked to get himself even faster and to become even a greater athlete so that he can play tailback for us. And he's just – he's a load. I mean, when he, you know, you look at him and he's a super strong kid in the weight room, runs exceptionally hard, and he's one of those guys that – you know, he wears on you just because he likes contact a whole lot more than you do, I think, sometimes. And that's his mentality. He kind of, he plays tailback sometimes like a linebacker. There's been times he's hit people when he probably shouldn't have. He could have, you know, bounced it or whatever, but his mentality is way different than most tailbacks, that's for sure.
Scott Hughes, Monterey wins over Lookout Valley on the road Friday night. Speaking of on the road, do you work with the football team in trying to prepare them for what it's like to get on the road and take care of business?
We do. You know, we try to spend most of our preseason scrimmages and things of that nature going on the road. And that way young guys learn how to get on and off the bus. For a lot of people, they don't realize how much different it is. And then when you have young guys in your program, you don't know the way that they've been allowed to travel. You don't know if it's well, those things when they get on the bus, you know, are they loud and all over the place or what it may be. And our older guys do a good job of policing that as well. And we make sure that everybody stays focused. And with technology now, it's one of those things, you know, they've all got music on their phones. They've all got huddle software on their phones. So, you know, they have the opportunity to spend that travel time, you know, doing whatever routine they have. But at the end of the day, they got to be focused when they get off the bus.
Sure, you got things to work on as you get ready for week three, but enjoy this one for a little bit.
We're going to, you know, I told the guys last night to enjoy last night and enjoy today, but we got to be back at work on Sunday because we have a huge region game and on the road again. And so you were exactly right. We have so many things to work on after watching the film already. We're blessed to be 2-0. Very blessed to be where we are, but to get to 3-0, we've got to clean up a lot of issues.
Monterey, 43, Lookout Valley, nothing. Head coach Scott Hughes, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having us on.
Monterey at Red Boiling Springs on the schedule for next Friday night in the Upper Cumberland. Here's where your favorite team will be playing. Clay County is on the road to Joe Burns. Cookeville hosts Riverside. Cumberland County is on the road to Livingston Academy. DeKalb County takes on Stone Memorial. Jackson County is at Westmoreland Friday night. Pickett County and Gordonsville face off. Smith County visiting Upperman. It's Warren County taking on Rockvale. White County battles CAK. And York County continues their start to the season on the road as they travel to Grundy County. Hopefully you'll get out and support high school sports of the Upper Cumberland. Don't forget to read more at ucsportsnation.com. Plenty of football on the agenda around here today. Of course, Tennessee and Georgia State coming up in Knoxville this afternoon. Our pregame coverage is already underway on 106.9 Kicks Country. And SEC Saturday begins a brand new season over on News Talk 94.1 with triple header coverage starting with Kentucky and Toledo. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. Today's show produced by Maddie Greider. Our studio producer is Will Hearn. UCSportsNation.com directed by Justin Matheny. Assistant Director Rusty Ellis. Larry Stone saying, enjoy the football today.